Well, certainly want to wish you a very happy holidays and a safe holidays in your travel. Know that you've enjoyed the opportunities that we've had to have our family close to us at times like these, and it's an awesome time. So enjoy what time we have, and thank God for it. You know, those of us who are saved looked at the cross at with different attitude. One, we're shamed that our human race was so horribly cruel to Jesus. The death on the cross was a horrible, horrible death. But then on the other hand, of course, as children of God, we realize that without his sacrifice, that we would not have the blessings of salvation. But now in the first century, when someone looked at the cross, the thought that they had was the fact that it was a very shameful, disgraceful way to die. And so during the first century, the preachers of truth, the Christians, had a very, very difficult time to try to convince others that a man who was condemned to death and crucified like a criminal could ever be the Son of God or ever be a Savior. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, and says, "We preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness." The fact that Jesus was convicted of as a criminal was not only a barrier to the faith of many then, but it has always, down through the annals of time, been a barrier to faith to many, even into our 21st century world. And the opponents of the cross say, well, he was convicted by the Jews, which were represent the religious community. He was convicted and put to death by the Romans, who represented the political community. So how in the world could this man be a Savior? How could he possibly be one you would want to follow? Well, I think to adequately answer those objections, I think we need to go back and to look at those trials that Jesus went through, the trials by the Jewish Sanhedrin, as well as the trial of the Roman official Pilate. Maybe we might be able to discern some things. Because amidst the illegal procedures, I think instead of proving that Jesus was not the Son of God, I really believe that it will prove to you that he was the Son of God. But the real question is, what do you think? Maybe Jesus is on trial in your heart right now. Maybe you haven't fully established a faith in God and in Christ as the Son of God. So, the real question today is going to be, what do you think? What's your verdict? Is he a criminal or is he the Christ? Is he a lawbreaker or is he the Lord of your life? So, what do you say? What is your verdict today? When Jesus was taken into custody by the Sanhedrin, by the soldiers, and taken to the Sanhedrin, one of the things that we notice right off is the prejudice that predominated the Sanhedrin. The leaders really didn't seek justice. They sought justification. Because as we read in John chapter 11 and verse 47 through 53, they had already made up their minds about Jesus. One Harvard professor from years and years and years ago, Simon Greenleaf, he was a famous American jurist back in 1846, and he said that the treatment of Jesus by the Jews was a murder that was perpetrated under the pretense of a legal sentence. And certainly that proved out to be true. Because in Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 and 60, there we read about Caiaphas and the rest of the priest. It said, "Now the priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward." The law of Moses was clear about false witnesses. Bearing false witness brought on a sentence of death in and of itself. So, really, in truth, it wasn't Jesus that should have been condemned to death. It was the priest and the Sanhedrin and the false testimony that was given by the false witnesses. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 65, whenever we see them take Jesus to Pilate, we see them switch the charge. The first charge that they came up with was that he had committed blasphemy. But when they take him to the Roman council, they, without any evidence whatsoever, they switched the charge from blaspheming to insurrection. The council's conduct was filled with inconsistencies. They condemned Jesus for blaspheming, and yet, in effect, they denied Jehovah, John 19, verse 15. They accused Jesus of being a kind of person who started riots, Luke 23, verse 5, when they themselves instigated a riot to put pressure on Pilate to condemn him to death, Matthew 27, verse 24. They said Jesus should not be released because he was guilty of treason, and then they turned right around and asked for the release of a man that had been truly convicted of treason. Mark 15, verse 7 through 15. The problem was not the Jewish legal system. The Jewish legal system was considered the most humane judicial system in the world. In fact, it was governed by very, very strict requirements for a trial. In fact, it went over and beyond the effort to not condemn a person to death. The Jewish system was governed by a series of regulations in the Mishnah. That was their law book, the Mishnah. And the missioner said that capital cases were only to be tried during the day. Section 4, verse 1. That the judges were to try diligently to find any way to release an accuser. Section 5 and verse 4. That a unanimous vote in a capital case nullified. Now notice this. A unanimous vote in a capital case nullified a conviction. Because that could very well, they determined, could be given by a mob vote. That was found in Mishnah 4, section 4, verse 1. That the council was not to find a man guilty and then sentence him the same day. Section 5 and verse 5. That the high priest presiding was not to voice his opinion regarding the case because of his influence might influence young jurors. And that was found in section 4 and verse 2. But in the trial of Jesus, I want you to notice now how many of those strict regulations were violated. Jesus was tried and found guilty at night, Matthew 26 and verse 57. The judges had no interest in proving him innocent, but only finding him guilty, Matthew 26 and verse 59. The council voted against Jesus unanimously, Mark 14 and verse 64. The verdict and the sentence were rendered the same night, Matthew 26 and verse 65. And the high priest was one of the first to give his verdict, Matthew 26 and verse 65. So there's no question that legally this trial was a farce. It was a trumped up thing, and it was in every shape and form and fashion was illegal and went against everything that the Jewish law stood for in a capital case. And those weren't the only illegalities. There were many, just as you would go through and look, it was the trial was improperly convened at the priest's home. The trial was conducted on a feast day, and that was against the Mishnah. Jesus was condemned on the grounds that he spoke blaspheming, and yet his statement that they determined to be blaspheming did not in any way fit the formula or the definition of blaspheming in the Jewish law. Again, I say it wasn't, the problem wasn't with the Jewish legal system. It was with those that were responsible for trying Jesus. Jesus was not tried and found guilty by the Jews. He was guilty and then tried. And so, every shape, form, or fashion, if you were to go back and apply the legal laws, the Jewish trial would have to end in either a not guilty verdict or at the very least a mistrial. But then let's go on then to the trial of before Pilate. Here we find politics prevails, not justice. Not justice in any way, politics. Pilate began the trial in a legitimate Roman fashion. Again, Roman law. Roman law was very strict, especially in a capital case. In fact, there was a Roman motto that was often engraved in stone in many Roman trial areas. It was, let justice be done, though the heavens fall. That was written in Latin in most jury halls. But the basic procedures of the Roman trial was that a governor was responsible for trying the case. There was no jury. The governor heard the accusations. The governor interrogated the accused. The governor called for advisors if he felt he needed it. And after the investigation was complete, the sentence was to be given on the judgment seat. Now, initially, this is exactly what happened. Pilate again followed the Roman law to the letter. Jesus was delivered to Pilate, Matthew chapter 27. The Jewish leaders made their accusations, John 18, verse 29. Pilate interrogated Jesus, Matthew chapter 27. Pilate acted to send Jesus to Herod, could be seen as a request for help, Luke 23. Of course, he was sent back to Pilate, and then Pilate sat on the judgment seat to make the ruling. And here was Pilate's judgment. Luke 23, verse 4. I find no guilt in this man. One translation says, I find no basis for a charge against this man. At this point, Jesus should have been released. But he wasn't. Because the priest kept coming back and putting pressure on Pilate. Time and time again, Pilate repeated, he is not guilty. Luke 23, verse 4, I find no guilt. Luke 23, 14, I find no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. Luke 23, verse 22, and he said to them a third time, what evil has this man done? I found no guilt in him, nothing demanding of death. John 18, verse 38, Pilate went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. John 19, verse 4, Pilate came out again and said to them, behold, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know I find no guilt in him. John 9 and verse 6, Pilate said to them, I find no guilt in him. Pilate, from the very moment that they brought him, Jesus to him, knew what they were up to. He knew he wasn't guilty. Pilate knew he wasn't guilty. His enemies knew he wasn't guilty. Pilate's wife knew he wasn't guilty. Matthew 27 and verse 19. Herod said he was innocent. Luke 23 verse 15. Judas, who betrayed Jesus, said he wasn't guilty. Matthew 27 and verse 4. One of the thieves on the cross that was crucified with him said he wasn't guilty. Luke 23 and verse 41. The centurion that was in charge of crucifying Jesus said that he was innocent. Matthew 27 and verse 54. When we go back and look at these charges, we can see and understand that Jesus, even though he was on trial, was innocent. Now, the question is, what about us? What about our 21st century world? What do you think about Jesus? Was he innocent or was he guilty? Now, before you answer that question, before you hastily answer, he was innocent. take just a moment to think about what you're saying. Because the Jews had said that he was not the Son of God, that he was, in effect, he was trying to blaspheme against God. So if you side with the Jews and convicted him as guilty, then you have to say he was not the Son of God. But now if you decide that indeed he is innocent, then you must then likewise admit that he was the Son of God. And if so, he was everything he said that he was. Everything that Jesus so stated. And you must believe in the words that he spoke. If he was the Son of God, and he was, and you declare his innocence in your heart, then you, in effect, must then admit that the words that he spoke are true. And if they are true, and they are, that they must be obeyed. So if Jesus then indeed is the Lord of this world, then he must be the Lord of your life. Jesus was not placed on a Roman cross because of his sins. He died on that cross because of your sins and my sins. We have to ask the question, what am I going to do with Jesus? There is a song, the words of which ask that very question. Listen to its words. Listen with your heart. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken what meaneth the sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him whate'er betide? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, old friend, what will he do with me? The Jews, Pilate, they thought they were trying Jesus. But they weren't trying the Master. They were trying and condemning themselves. One day, there will yet be another trial. Instead of Jesus as the one persecuted, tried, convicted, put to death, you and I will stand there. And Jesus will be judging us. I ask you again, what is your verdict? Is he guilty? Then refuse him. Along with the world today, deny him. But know you this, Jesus, with his very own words, said, "He that will deny me before men, him will I deny before the Father which is in heaven. But he that will confess me before men, him will I confess before the Father which is in heaven." I can only imagine the moment when my name will be called. Millions and millions and millions of people, everyone that has ever lived, gathered in the greatest gathering that there has ever been. And somewhere in that throng of millions, you will stand. As will I. And at some point, I don't know how long it's going to take to judge. Doesn't matter. There's not any time anymore. Time has ceased to exist. But at some point, a million years, 1,000 years, I might be the first. I don't know. But at some point, somewhere, sometime, a herald will call out, "Larry Colbreth." And from that throng, I'll make my way down and through and to the judgment seat of God. And there he'll say, "You've been faithful over a few things, son. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of your Lord." And to speak for me will be the judge himself. Jesus will intercede. Maybe he'll say something like, "Father, I know he wasn't perfect. We made him. We know. But he tried so hard. He served us with his faith, with his talents. He bespoke our name on many occasions with a faith and a power. Father, let's let him live with us forever." What a wonderful, wonderful thing it will be to hear God say, "Come home. Come home, my son. And fling open the gates of heaven." And to hear the angels cheer as I walk through the gates. And to see the wonders that I could never, ever even dream of. Heaven. Heaven. My home. So, is he guilty or is he innocent? What you decide may very well determine where you live eternity. Will you come? All together we stand and sing.